This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yeah, really. Took an extra 30 seconds in making sure to point out that we didn't go too long with it. I am a walking enigma. Big fat one at that. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. As I said just moments ago and hours ago, Sirius XM Channel 80 and on your smart speakers. So something has just kind of surfaced that is catching our attention a little bit. It surfaced first this morning in Adam Schefter's Nuggets column, so to speak, over on ESPN.com. And just a little while ago, he was on with Pat McAfee. So here is what we're talking about. In his column this morning, Schefter writes, one NFL general manager said he believes, quote, there is an undercurrent of support for Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix, end quote, even though his team doesn't have a first-round grade on either. This particular GM said he believes both Penix and Nix are day two picks. Some teams disagree, and there is now speculation that Penix could go as high as number eight to the Falcons. Number eight to the Falcons. All right, well, you think, well, maybe, Joe, he's talking about somebody trading up to number eight because, of course, the Falcons have Kirk Cousins, right? Well, he reiterated as much, if you listen very closely here, just a few minutes ago on the Pat McAfee Show.
There may be a team out there that loves Michael Penix, and you're starting to hear chatter, whether it's true or not, that the Falcons like him, that the Raiders like him. The Seahawks offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb, coached him last year. The Seahawks offensive line coach was in Washington last year. They're very familiar. I don't think the medicals with Michael Penix Jr. are as much of an issue as people thought they would be. The teams that I've spoken to feel pretty good about where he's at.
Second time he's mentioned the Falcons, Joe. What am I supposed to do with that?
Well, I read this morning, all right? People behind the curtain, like Schefter's Nuggets piece comes out very early in the morning. We have a show meeting we do at 10 a.m. Eastern time. We come in, we pitch a bunch of ideas, there's a document, there's our text thread, there's a million ways we can share information. And I read this morning and thought, that's just a typo.
Yeah.
Someone made a mistake. I'm not even going to pitch this because this is so wild, it can't possibly be right. And then we kind of brought it up to each other about 20, 30 minutes ago and found out that Schefter then reiterated what he wrote on McAfee's show, which means it's clearly not an error. So there's some speculation Michael Penix could go to Atlanta at eight, who just signed Kirk Cousins to a four-year, $180 million contract, like a month and a half ago. What are we supposed to do with this?
Yeah.
What's the why?
I mean, the only why I can come up with here is that it's lying season, right? So is it somebody else out there who's putting, well, here in the Falcons are very much into it to try to benefit themselves in that.
Who's falling for that, though?
I mean, people fall for less. Happens all the time.
Do they? That's what's so outrageous about this. Was Atlanta in a room saying, we need to come up with the most outrageous lie possible to get people off our scent? Well, because if this was a byproduct of that, then...
No, let me ask you a question. If you're the Falcons, right, and you know that you've got teams at 11, 12, and 13 who are going to have to pay a fortune to get up to four or five, you know, and then by six, the fourth quarterback could be gone, right? If you are the Falcons and at the eighth pick, there's still a quarterback around. Well, if people think that you might take Michael Penix or Bo Nix and they're going to be desperate with four quarterbacks off the board already, doesn't that make your pick a little bit more valuable just to plant the seed?
Well, it does, but it requires people buying into that. It requires people saying, you know what? It does make sense for Atlanta to give Kirk Cousins a four-year, $180 million deal. And then when they're so close to winning their division and competing, they should go out and use a pick on a guy they're not going to play rather than, I don't know, at eight, you can get the number one defensive player. Like, that'll be the first defensive player, most likely.
Maybe.
You can do so much to help your team. Here's another theory. Let me throw this out there. They're just trying to build up the Penix stock because they have a divisional rival in New Orleans who's sitting at 14. And if they think the Saints might be interested in Penix falling to them at 14. They just want to get the word out there that Penix is going to go higher so that New Orleans isn't going to be able to just sit there and get their guy.
But they have to overpay to go get their guy.
Yeah, like maybe New Orleans is sitting there going, oh, crap. If Penix doesn't fall to us, what's our plan? Because that's our guy. But even then, I think I'm stretching.
Okay, but here, so Dan Graziano this morning.
That would make sense, though. New Orleans would make a lot of sense for a guy like Michael Penix because Derek Carr is only going to be there just because of his contract. But like, he's not the future.
Yeah, but there are three teams right there in front of him, too, that need quarterbacks. And maybe the Raiders love Penix.
So we went from Penix might not be a first-round pick to Penix is going to go 11, 12, or 13? Okay. Is it possible that we've changed that quickly?
Well, here's Graz.
Is Penix going number one to the Bears? Triple H say ESPN, late movement out of Chicago. Like, what the hell's happening?
Bears have floated it. We're taking Penix.
Kayla Williams apparently turned him off during their meeting. Penix is now the front runner. Jaden Daniels is going to slide all the way to the Raiders. Everyone just gets what they want.
Caleb Williams did not order the porterhouse when they took him to Gibson's. Right. So that's a red flag.
Guy ordered fish at a steakhouse. You're out of here.
All right. So here's Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL reported this morning on Unsportsmanlike about Penix and Bo Nix going in the first round.
Do you expect Graz Minnesota after round one to have drafted a quarterback?
Yes.
Very confident. Very confident, Graz.
They have two first-round picks. I mean, look, even if they can't get up to three or four, you know, they could do it. The question is, like, if you get shut out of the top four, if you're Minnesota, are you desperate enough to take the fifth best quarterback in this year's draft, or are you better off trying to figure it out some other way? And that's the question they'll have to answer.
I played the wrong one, but I let it play just so that we could hear the rest of what he had to say. This is the one we actually meant to play.
I would guess right now, Penix first round, Nix goes in on Friday night somewhere. That would be my guess right now. Penix has gotten a lot of interest lately. He could be a consideration for the Raiders, you know, in the middle of the round. He could be a consideration for Denver. He could be a consideration for Seattle. There's a connection there, right, with the offensive coordinator. So I do think that it sounds like he ends up in the first round. Bo Nix could sneak in there, sure, but I don't get the sense that those teams picking in the top half of the first round are going to use that pick on him.
Okay, but Michael Penix today released an open letter to all NFL GMs on the Players Tribune. And what do we know about the knock on Penix? It's been injuries, right?
Correct.
ACL, he's had issues with that. Shoulders, he's had issues with that. Here's how he closed this note making his case. Open letter to NFL GMs. I have no problem taking all the MRIs and X-rays you ask of me. Truth is, it's an EKG that's going to tell you everything you need to know about me.
That's pretty savvy right there.
Oh, the old heartbeat. Sign me up now. I'm on board.
Okay. You can be persuaded that easy by some guy with a propaganda letter in The Athletic that someone probably helped him write? Come on.
Joe, this I've often been thought of as simple-minded.
This is why we can't put you in charge of a team. Guy sends out a tweet, suddenly the whole organizational philosophy shifting in House of Carlin there. Now, jokes aside, Penix is a gamer. Like, that's the thing. Penix is a gamer. He was a gamer in Indiana. He transferred to Washington. He was a gamer there. No one gave them a chance. And no one gave them a chance in hell to beat Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. And then they smoked him for the second time that season. And then they beat Texas. And they hung in there a bit with Michigan. It wasn't very pretty, but what are you going to do? We're going to knock a guy for losing the national championship game? That was a huge performance in back-to-back seasons. Kid can play. I hope the best for him. And it's not a knock on him. I don't understand why Atlanta would be interested at 8. It's the fit. That's the thing. It's not anti-Penix. Why would Atlanta be interested in Michael Penix? They're so close to being a legitimate contender. They're going to use the 8th overall pick on a quarterback to back up Cousins? Or are they under the impression Cousins is only going to be there for a couple years? Like, is that 4-year, $180 million contract really like a 2-year deal? And they like Penix so much they're going to send him for 2 years and then have him take over? It's wild. It's wild to think that.
And here's the other thing. Like, if that's what you're thinking about, remember this. Michael Penix is already 24. It's not like he's 20. It's not like he hasn't played a ton of football. He has. This is not somebody who's, you know, you're going to draft and is a project. I'm sorry. This is bizarre. This is bizarre.
But Schefter's got it out there for a reason. Like, it's out there. Yeah. Speculation that Atlanta at 8. I wonder if it's like he's trying to send up the red flag, like, hey, don't read into Atlanta. Read into number 8. Read into number 8. Someone's going to try to trade up to get to 8 so that they can draft Michael Penix. Now, you're not going to have to worry about getting in front of the Bears at 9, but you move up 2 spots to get in front of, you know, 10's the Jets, and then 11, 12, 13, that quarterback murderer's row right there of Minnesota, Denver, and the Raiders. So I guess maybe Atlanta's a trade target. Atlanta could say, look, we need defensive players. This is going to be an offensive-heavy draft. Anyone who wants to get up for Penix can come to 8. We'll slide back a few picks. We'll still get a good defender who can help us win right away.
Carlin versus Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com. Now, you heard Dan Graziano's point on the Vikings when I played the wrong sound. But what if they don't come away with a quarterback? That's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, and on Sirius XM, Channel 80.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I'm fired up for it Thursday. It's going to be awesome. We've got you covered from pillar to post all week long on ESPN and ESPN Radio as we get ready for the draft on Thursday night. On the radio, it'll be me, Canty, along with Mike Tannenbaum, Ian Fitzsimmons, Jordan Reed, and Mr. Reed's latest mock draft. He did all 7 rounds. God bless him. I don't know how you do an entire 7-round mock draft, but Jordan Reed, who is so good at all of this stuff, is going to be with us for all of, I believe, a lot of Friday and Saturday. And so, Joe, here is his latest mock draft. Are
before
you ready?
Before you get into that, is it all of you on the show the entire time, or are some people, like, are you going to throw to Ian? How is this working? That's a lot of bodies.
It is a lot of bodies. It's a lot of big bodies is what it is.
It's a lot of meat. I mean, there's not a lot of... I'd wonder what the average cholesterol count is up there. I'd wonder what the HDLs look like.
Boy, that's great. Thank God that's not a part of our testing to go in and do this. Oh, my God. I'm in between statins at the moment. It's Carly versus Joe on ESPN Radio. But to your point, Jordan, I believe, is doing Friday and Saturday with us. And then it'll be myself, Chris, Ian, along with Mike Tannenbaum, on Thursday night, and I think Chris is doing Friday night, but then he's not doing Saturday. But yes, all of us together in one place, and your boy's going to be running point all over the place trying to make it all happen.
Like Steve Nash.
Yes.
So you guys are all on the
desk
together.
And trust me, like Steve Nash, I'm going to get my shots up.
Get those shots up, too. Where are you? So where are you doing this from?
We will do it from a room that will be adjacent to the draft like from a ballroom, probably about 50 yards from the draft.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the people can't come by to see you, but they can meet you afterwards, perhaps.
Correct. Okay. Unfortunately, they cannot come by me. Heavily guarded security. Yep. For us particularly.
Fitzsimmons like, specifically.
Whatever. Exactly. So here's his latest draft. He's got Caleb Williams 1, Daniels 2, May 3. He's got the Cardinals staying put at 4 and taking Harrison. Then Alt 5. Malik Nabers 6 to the Giants. The Titans taking Rome Odunze. And then the Vikings moving to 8 to the Falcons to take J.J. McCarthy.
Again with the 8th pick. Is today just going to be all about this Falcons 8 pick because we haven't talked about it at all?
It might be. It might be. Here's what I can absolutely tell you. The Falcons, I fully believe, and call this... This is not from anybody inside the Falcons organization. So I would say that this statement has very little credibility, but it's coming from me. So do with that what you will. I am very confident that the Falcons are not going to take anything but a defensive player, and that might be at 8. Maybe they move back and take it at 10. Like I'll be stunned if Dallas Turner is not a Falcon next week.
Well, given that there's no sourcing whatsoever on
none
that comment,
whatsoever.
Thank you for sharing with us. I think we're all more well-informed heading into the draft.
Again,
having
you get caught up in showing your work. I show you the result. And if I'm right next week, there's your result. Your boy, you don't have to worry about what the work looks like.
So what's
don't ask how the sausage is made.
So what's interesting here is it feels like a half measure. This isn't to knock Jordan by any stretch, because this could absolutely happen. I love the fact that he's got this permutation out there because I haven't seen it yet. But the Falcons getting, or excuse me, Minnesota going to 8 to get McCarthy. They're currently sitting at 11. The Jets are at 10. I don't think anyone really views them as going after a quarterback, but who knows? Maybe it's the Rodgers succession plan. That would be ultra juicy. Bears at 9. They'll have drafted their quarterback, Caleb Williams, number 1 overall. And at 8, you would have then Atlanta here. So you'd be moving from a spot where no one in front of you wants a QB up to a spot with a team that doesn't want a QB, presumably so that the Raiders, Broncos, Saints, everyone behind you, Seattle, can't jump you in order to get this quarterback. But it feels like, you know, once word gets out that McCarthy falls past the Giants at 6, that's going to be an ultimate bidding war to get up for the kid, would it not?
Well, here's the thing. You would think a couple of teams would definitely be interested in it.
Oh, hell yeah.
But what if you're in like but not in love? Let me just ask that question. Because to me, if you look at J.J. McCarthy, and I will say that this is based in opinion of many people I have spoken to around the league, including people in the NFC North, okay? They have said this. McCarthy probably has a decent floor. But can you really justify trading 3 first-round picks? Let's say you're, in fact, the Vikings, 11, 23, and next year's 1, to move up to get J.J. McCarthy if you only kind of like him? That's tough to take. But if you're going to move up to 8 and you're giving up 11 and 23 to move up to 8, maybe that's more palatable. Or 11 and a second-round pick. Maybe that's more palatable that you're confident in his abilities, but I can't push all the chips in on him.
That's the thing that gives me cause for pause here. And I love the word palatable. Yeah, it's certainly more palatable to get him at a better price at 8 than it would be to push the chips in to move up to 3 or 4 to get him. But what are we doing here? Do you like him as your franchise guy or not? Like, if we were talking about making a play on a 4th-round pick, and it's like, look, if he's there when we're drafting at 125, like, we'll take him. But we're not going to move up to 110. We're not going to give up capital to move up to get this guy. He's a mid-round pick. We'll take a shot. I understand that. We're talking about a first-round quarterback. He's going to be the face of your franchise. He's going to be your guy whether you wait and draft him at 11 or trade up and get him. So what the hell's the difference? The assets, right? Well, so if you're sitting here saying, look, he's not worth the assets to trade up, but if he slides to 11, we'll take him. How is he worth the pick at 11 then? Like, how is this your franchise quarterback if you like him at 11, but you don't like him enough to trade up to 4 to get him? Because you don't want to give up the assets. I think that's a red flag that you shouldn't be drafting the kid at all. You should be doing something else.
Okay, so here's the problem. Here's what I'm going to do. Of opinions that I have solicited over the last few weeks, I've gotten the most opinions on McCarthy. So why don't I read you a few of them?
You have these opinions just written down?
Yeah, I wrote down notes when they were given to me.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious. So you talk to people, they say things about McCarthy, you write them down, and now you're going to read them off.
Yep.
You're going to give us the sources?
No.
Feels like I'd like to hear that. But
well, I'll tell you who they. Where they come from.
I understand the business. I understand. Go ahead.
Yes. All right. So this is from an NFL high-level talent evaluator. Okay. He's a
Mel
super
Kiper.
Late riser.
Mel
Maybe
Kiper.
It's just the Harbaugh bump pumping him up. I just don't see it. Success, winning, I get it. His pro day, they were impressive. I'm just not as in love with him as other people are. Here's one from a coach that went against McCarthy this year, late in the season.
Ryan Day?
Yes. more
guess
athletic, the,
we should
not
just
Ryan
guess,
Day, to be clear.
Guess the
not Ryan Day. Just to clarify, more athletic than he gets credit for. He did have 13 points through 50 minutes against Alabama and then led 2 scoring drives. He finds ways to win games. Another defensive coordinator went against him. I just don't see it as a franchise quarterback. He had the best team, one of the best defenses, great running back, tight end, offensive line. I don't see the arm talent. He's athletic. He can create. Here's the point. I can keep going on and on. There's about 10 different opinions on him. And they're all basically, you know, in a different way of saying it, they're all like, I'm not thoroughly convinced on him. There's nobody that says, oh my God, do whatever you have to do to get him.
Well, let's go through a little bit of an exercise here, all right? How many guys of the top quarterbacks currently in the NFL had like unanimous, overwhelming praise when they were coming out? We start with Patrick Mahomes. Clearly not.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly not. He would not have fallen as far as he did. So that's one. Josh Allen clearly was a bit of a toss-up. He played at Wyoming, didn't have a high completion percentage. There was some speculation and there was some discussion there. So there's two of them. Joe Burrow, I think everyone felt very comfortable with him. Trevor Lawrence, I think everyone felt very comfortable with him. So that's two, but he's not one of the top guys right now. Jalen Hurts wasn't in the MVP race. He wasn't even a first rounder, so there's no way it was uniform for him. Same thing with Lamar Jackson, who just won his second MVP award. Brock Purdy was in the Super Bowl. He was the last pick in the NFL draft. Point is, if you go through the top quarterbacks in the NFL, how many came out with all of us overwhelmingly being like, yup, that's the guy? Even CJ Stroud last year, people thought to themselves, I don't know, man, Ohio State quarterbacks, there's something about those dudes. He didn't go number one. Right? So I would say Burrow and Lawrence isn't even a great quarterback right now. Burrow seems to be the only really, really good quarterback in the NFL that came out where there were no doubts, and that's it. So is that such a bad thing for McCarthy?
No, no. Again, nobody's
saying... voice crack
saying,
there, I noticed.
Nah.
No, that's not the case at all.
Trying to save my voice for the week.
I know. It's like we're both going to Detroit. We're doing radio shows. We're doing TV. We got a ton of stuff. And it's like, hey, to get you guys ready, we want you to talk as much as humanly possible before you get on the plane and get sick.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, no masks on the planes, all right?
Right?
What I want you to do is to make sure to talk to everybody as closely face-to-face as you can.
Shake everyone's hand. We need to press the flesh. It's an election year.
When they ask you if you want one of those wipes, say no. It's Carlin versus Joe. We'll get more into this. We're 5 hours away, though, from tip-off, and Joel Embiid's knee injury may not be the biggest question facing the Sixers for tonight. That's next. We are on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, Joe, we've got a pre-draft trade, and she's a biggie.
Breaking news.
Zach Wilson is no longer a New York Jet. He has been traded to the Broncos.
Oh!
To the Denver Broncos. It is Zach and a 7th-round pick to the Broncos for a 6th-round pick, and thus ends an era in New York Jets football, although one would say it's been one big era.
Yeah. I think exactly he just summed it up. Splash. Yeah. Not exactly the splash Bronco fans were probably hoping for.
Well, clearly they're out of the quarterback market now.
What would be the process here? You think that you can kind of like fix, that you can find a way to take what the Jets couldn't do with him and get something out of him? Because you got to be thinking like buy low, right? Like we can buy low on Wilson. Is it the idea that if we don't get a quarterback in this year's draft, we want to have some competition amongst a collection of number twos?
I mean, you're being generous when you call it a collection of number twos when it's Zach Wilson, Jared Stidham, and Ben DiNucci. That's the Broncos quarterback room right now. So listen, they didn't give up very much of anything for him. So I would just think that this is more than anything else. Zach Wilson needing to get out of town. The Broncos taking a shot. Why not? Maybe he can be our number two. That's basically the extent of it for me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a backup quarterback being traded to a team that needs a quarterback but probably doesn't envision starting him. It is what it is. It's a big story because, you know, it's Wilson. And we've talked about him so much, but never because he's played well.
Not once. Not once because he's played well. We talked more about Mike White because he played well than Zach Wilson in the Zach Wilson era.
Right.
So think about this for a second. How about this? Evan puts this up from the 2021 NFL draft quarterback class. Is this the worst ever? This is from Ari Myroff on Twitter. You got Trevor Lawrence, who's still starting for the Jaguars, so jury's out there, right? Zach Wilson traded to the Broncos for nothing. Trey Lance traded to the Cowboys. Nothing. Justin Fields traded to the Steelers for nothing. Mac Jones traded to the Jaguars for nothing. How about that? I mean, that is a rough stretch of 4 straight quarterbacks in that draft that did absolutely zero. Holy cow.
Yeah, that's a wow. I mean, we're sitting here thinking this is an all-time draft class, right? And we've already put the nail in the coffin on next year's quarterback class, right? Have you noticed? You got to make your moves now because next year's quarterback class, I don't know, it doesn't look very good. Mm. Yet we've been told before some of these immaculate classes are going to come out and be fantastic. That right there is, I mean, what a disaster. Lawrence, Wilson, Lance, Fields, Jones. Jones, Lance, Wilson, all disasters. Fields might have some potential. Lawrence, nowhere close to what was expected from him. Nowhere close.
Nowhere close. Oh, my God. I mean, that is just... That is a murderer's row of atrocious quarterback play right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really is.
But, I mean, let's go through it. How many teams are in bad shape? Let's look at the Jets right now, okay? The Jets made the play for Wilson. They currently have Aaron Rodgers. Questions about health, but I think a lot of people view them as at least a playoff contender next year. They're not going to come into this season and win four games. It could be a disaster, but I think people feel that they should be above 500. The 49ers are on this list. They were in the Super Bowl last year. They're a Super Bowl contender again. The Bears, number 11 on this list with Justin Fields. They're about to draft Caleb Williams, number one. They have pick number 9. They got a solid defense. They're ready to take a step forward. Mac Jones was traded to the Jaguars. Patriots are a bit of a mess. Not a whole lot to sell there. Again, go ahead. Swing and miss on quarterbacks. Just keep swinging. Keep swinging until you get one. Because the thing is, it's not that debilitating. The Eagles gave up a ton for Carson Wentz. It didn't work out. But they won a Super Bowl with Foles while Wentz was on the roster, and they went back to a Super Bowl a few years later. The Rams gave up a ton to go up and get Goff, traded him away, went to and won a Super Bowl right after that. Like, history is filled with these teams that have swung and missed on QBs, and they're right back in contention. It can be done.
Carlin versus Joe. You know what? Let's get a call on this. Mike in Denver is up on ESPN Radio. Mike, Zach Wilson's a Bronco. Your thoughts?
This is brilliant. I've been criticizing the Denver Broncos for a long time now, but in honor of Earth Day and all those Russell Wilson jerseys that were headed to the landfill, we break those out. We give him Russell's number. Let's go. More Wilson jerseys. I love it.
Wow. A trade for Zach Wilson classified as brilliant.
I'd rather have Zach than Russ.
Listen, you know what?
It's much it's much cheaper. It's much cheaper.
You'd rather have Zach than Russ. Come on.
Would you? I don't know. I don't think there's a whole lot
left with
Russ.
I would not rather have Zach Wilson than Russell Wilson. No. Evan, come on. You're better than that.
Well, no, think it through.
In the words of George Sedano, be better, Evan.
Am I better than that?
Think it through. With Russ, you are now committed to him to some extent. You're committed to seeing it through with him. You're committed to giving him an opportunity. You're committed to playing him in some regard. Like with Zach, if it goes south, you can just bail immediately. Like, you have put yourself in a position, if you're the Steelers, where you have to see this out a little bit.
You kind of don't. You're not on the hook for any of his money.
It's not about the money. Why'd you make the trade if you're not going to do anything with
him? Well, they brought him in, and then the Justin Fields trade fell in their laps after it. I don't think they expected that. So their commitment to Russ immediately got diminished a great deal once they made the Fields trade. Mm. At least that's how I see it. Look, Russ is going to get a chance to win the job. There's no doubt about that. But it's just, if it doesn't work, they can get out pretty quick.
But like, when do you realize it's not working? When do you make that determination?
You could make that. I think it just depends. A lot of it depends on how Russ handles it.
Say he's team leader. He's in early. He's working hard. You know, he doesn't have all the gas in the tank because he's older, but he's a good culture guy. Good culture guy, working hard, understands the offense. You know, what would that
backup.
Mean?
Keep him as a backup.
Well, when do you make the determination that he's not the starter?
If Fields is outplaying him, even in training camp dramatically, then yeah. I think Russ is the starter to go into the year, but if he is playing like he did with Denver, where it's, you know, kind of middle of the road, but they're winning some games, but the results are, you know, they're 3-3 through six games, and Russ isn't doing anything either way. I think that's where you make the change.
There it was. Evan Wilner threw garbage against the wall regarding Russ and Zach, and we turned it into content. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how you do radio.
You're welcome. Rich Cimini, make sure to let us know that this is a pick swap with the Broncos. The Broncos get the Jets get the Broncos' highest sixth rounder, number 203, and the Broncos get the Jets' highest seventh rounder, number 256.
Jeez, don't show Wilson that. Talk about, oh my God. What did I go for? Pick swap. An early pick swap? Not exactly. A mid-round pick swap? It was a sixth and a seventh pick swap. You know, the lowest of the pick swaps.
They were willing to just move up 50 spots of the bad players to get you. Our two teams already in must-win mode. That's next after I have this from our friends at Indeed. It's the perfect time to gear up and connect to quality candidates, and there's no better way to do that than through Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, interview, and screen candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Nix the hassle. Start hiring Indeed.com/credit.
Barbasol Shaving Cream. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol. Close Shave America. Close Shave Barbasol.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Two props in the Lakers Nuggets showdown. Number one, Anthony Davis under 24.5 points. Let's deploy the AD zigzag, which worked very well last year. He had a huge game one, 32 points on 23 shots, but he played 44 minutes and 30 seconds, and Jokic worked him on the defensive end. Translation. This is not game one where he had a few days to get ready. Three, I believe. This is a fast turnaround at elevation. I wonder how AD's body is going to hold up coming off a very good shooting night where he scored a lot of points. Under 24.5 points for Anthony Davis. Number two, D'Angelo Russell over 2.5 made three-pointers. We're betting on positive regression here. 1-for-9 from deep in game one. 1-for-9 from deep. He's going to have the green light. He's going to get a lot of shots up. We just feel that law of averages is going to kick in, and he'll make more in this game because he missed almost all of them in the last game. Final two pizza monies, Anthony Davis under 24.5 points, D'Angelo Russell over 2.5 made three-pointers.
I don't know that I've ever met anybody who is better at sucking me into a bet than you with your explanations.
Oh,
it's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, really. I'm not BSing you here, because you lay it all out. You lay it all out very easily, and it all makes a lot of sense the way that you put it. And now I'm on board.
Okay.
And now I feel a little bit closer to you.
So, all right.
Thank
well,
you for that.
Let's go. Let's try to, I'm glad it sounded good. I'm glad we all enjoyed it. Now, you know, the easy part, we just need to win it.
Oh. So we don't just win it based off of what's said.
Yeah, okay. Right. We have not already won the wager because it sounded good. We do need to, in fact, play the game out.
See, this is the part I haven't figured out yet. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. Don't forget the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. Knicks hosting the Sixers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations and on Sirius XM. Channel 80. You mentioned you started with the Nuggets there. Let's get into this for a moment. I am really struggling to find any way in which the Lakers can climb their way back into this series, and I expect this to end up being another one of those games where it's in the fourth quarter and it's a 5 or 6 point game, and then it'll balloon to 14 by the time it's all said and done. I just don't see it with the Lakers right now matching up with this team that just, I don't want to say has it on autopilot, because it's not autopilot. They just look so much like a well oiled machine right now.
Well, the thing is, they play well on both ends of the court, especially on offense. And the thing is, if for some strange reason Jokic doesn't ever have it going, it's not like he becomes an albatross out there. Like, Karl Anthony Towns can become an albatross. It could be like, oh my God, we can't even have him on the court, right? If Jokic, for some reason, some odd reason, isn't scoring, he's probably going to have 17 assists.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he's going to set up a ton of open looks. He's going to have a lot of rebounds. He'll make some plays on the defensive end. On top of that, you have a bona fide star in Jamal Murray that you can lean on as well. You have guys that can contribute from all over the place. That's what makes them so dangerous. You know, if LeBron has an off night, AD needs to carry the load. And AD is so often banged up, is he capable of doing that? And say, for example, LeBron and AD play well, which you can get that. You can get 60 points from them. Other people need to step up, and there's no guarantee that that's going to happen, especially against the Nuggets. So now think of it like this. Denver has beaten LA 9 times in a row by an average of about 9 points per game. 5 of those 9 games are playoff games. 4 are regular season games. 9 straight wins. A team you just lost to 9 teams in a row, you suddenly need to figure out how to beat 4 in the next 6. Okay, good luck.
Yeah.
Because I don't see how that's happening either.
No, me neither. Me neither. This feels like the quick exit. Greeny was right. They should have just tanked it.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves with that.
I'm kidding, because tank he was it, out sure. there patting himself on the back this morning with it.
And I applaud the content. Yeah. I don't necessarily applaud the actual, you know, meat of the discussion, but I applaud the content and the topic. Thing is, you could tank it, fine, great, and you end up with a better matchup. You're still going to run into these guys, right? Like, yeah. You're still going to run. I would argue, to Greeny's point, that if you tank the play-in game to avoid Denver and you win a first-round series rather than lose, all you're doing is risking further injury and putting more wear on LeBron James and Anthony Davis in a season that won't result in a championship. That would be irresponsible, to play them more games and more minutes than necessary. So did Greenberg consider that? The idea of, you know, somehow finding your way into an easier matchup and playing all these additional games? That's reckless with LeBron's health. It's reckless with AD's health.
Joe, it's sports radio. We're all reckless, okay? It's by very definition what we are. Having said that, let's get to the Knicks and Sixers tonight. And the Sixers still have Joel Embiid listed as questionable, and Tyrese Maxey, as of this morning, was listed as questionable with an illness. And I would say that combination, not that Embiid so much as listed as questionable, I wouldn't expect otherwise, but based off of what we saw the other night when he banged up his knee, I'd be very worried about the Sixers at the moment. They go down 2 games to none here, and Maxey, like, this is the game that they can least afford to have Maxey have an illness, right?
Yeah.
This is one of those games where this has got to be a Maxey game for them to tie this series up at 1 apiece and get back to Philadelphia.
Down 0-2, you got to find a way to beat the Knicks 4 of the next 5 with a hobbled Joel Embiid. That won't be an easy task. Tonight, you're going to need to find a way. You're 5.5-point dogs. There should be a little bit of shooting regression on New York's behalf. A Deuce McBride with that ridiculous performance, fantastic. But that's not really sustainable. Knicks shot around 47% from three-point range, if I remember correctly. So that number should come down a bit. Sixers should find their way into a closer matchup. When Embiid is on the floor, they were plus 14 in game 1. The problem is that without him, they got outscored by 21 points. Those non-Embiid minutes are a complete disaster for the Sixers. Tobias Harris, you're getting paid. At any point, you can contribute in a big way to this, but I really don't see that happening. So I don't know what to tell you. I mean, needing Maxey when he's battling an illness, it's asking a lot. And this Knicks team is no joke, man. They are going to keep coming at you. This is a tough basketball team. They're not going to lay down for anything. Like, you might beat them, but they're going to take a piece of you with them.
Yeah, that's with Tom Thibodeau. You're going to get every last ounce of whatever that team has.
They're tough, man.
And listen, if you're the Knicks, you have to smell a little blood in the water right now.
Absolutely.
This is an opportunity to absolutely put them in a squeeze box here, because I don't believe for a second that with a healthy Embiid that the Knicks would beat the Sixers in this series even now. But I don't know what to think about him. Going into game one, I thought it was more about maybe he just wasn't there from a conditioning standpoint. But when you aggravate the injury as he did the other night, I can't feel good about anything right now.
The Knicks can't think like this, but we can say it because we're on radio. You need to wrap this series up as fast as possible.
Yes.
Because the Celtics are not going to play a lot of games on their way to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're already the best team in the East by a mile, and you add rest and health in there as well, they're going to be an extremely dangerous out. You can't play 17 playoff games to their 12 or whatever it might be, 8 to 13, whatever, you do the math, and think you're going to get past them. You're going to have to wrap these things up as quick as possible.
Yeah, you can't, and you also can't give them any kind of a belief that they can beat you without Embiid.
Correct.
Because they are that kind of team, because Maxey has played at that level all season long. This is a fascinating game to beat tonight.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin versus Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin versus Joe podcast.